And it's time now for us to find out what's happening on the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange. With our opening report, here's Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Friday morning, everyone. Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time. In Kansas City, September wheat opened at 7:24, up 3.25 on the open. December, 7:45, up 11.5. At the Chicago Board of Trade, September wheat opened at 7:95, up 25 on the open. December, 8:02, up 17.5. March, 7:96, up 18.5. May, 7:29, up 18. July, 6:15, up 5 on the open. September corn opened at 3:29, up 6.25 on the open. December, 3:45.5, up 5.75. March, 3:60.5, up 4.5. May, 3:71, up 6.25. July, 3:79, up 4.25. September, 3:86, up 6. December, 3:95, up 5. March, 4:01.5, up 3 on the open. September beans opened at 8:79, up 8.5 on the open. November, 8:94, up 9. January, 9:09, up 9.5. March, 9:19, up 9.75. May, 9:24, up 10. July, 9:31, up 6.75 on the open. September soybean meal opened at 2:42, up $2 on the open. October, 2:45, up 2.90. September soybean oil opened at 36.75, up 42 on the open. October, 37, up 44. At the Merck, August live cattle open at 95.20, up 62.5 on the open. October, 97.55, up 47.5. December, 130, up 40. February, 145, down 2.5 on the open. September feeders open at 118.25, up 27.5 on the open. October, 118.35, up 20. November, 118.20, up 2.5. January, 115.75, up 20 on the open. October lean hogs open at 67.60, down 25 on the open. December, 68.90, down 7.5. February, 70.10, down 17.5. April, 70.40, down 15 on the open. And February pork bellies open at 91.25, down 75 on the open.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3751. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
You look at the charts and the wheat, and there's nothing but air to the left.
Yeah.
Which brings up a good point. How do you look at these charts technically? What kind of things do you try to see in them to figure out future price direction? I do note that in the last couple of days, sessions have been more muted than the overnight action.
Yeah, that's a good point to bring up. And I think the other good point would be, you know, we've hit a swing objective in the SEP wheat of about 785 was what we drew off the July lows. Now, the question is, being about a dime above that on the high today, or at least last night's high, will we stay above that 785 swing objective or not? That's probably where we would start, Dave. I think the other thing we're looking at is when we talk to our cash people that we have been talking to the last few weeks, is wheat being demand rationed here with these prices? And I think certainly at the livestock feed level, you have to say it is, because that wheat corn spread is almost $4.50 now. In fact, it's $4.52 as we speak. I think on the human level and the human consumption level too, that's starting probably to occur as well as far as demand rationing, because we did see the rice export sales last week rose three times what they were the previous week. Iraq buying about 63% of the total sales. Rice jumped very dramatically this week, and I think that was probably a spillover effect of human consumption needs going after a substitute when they couldn't get the wheat market, for human consumption. So we'll have to keep an eye on that, but I think you're beginning to see the function of the market take hold, where the demand rationing is beginning. So now we wait for export inspections Monday, and we wait for export sales on next Thursday to see if there's any negatives in those columns.
I do know export sales were pretty doggone good this past week in India. It looks like they're increasing their tender for wheat.
India is an interesting situation because our cash contacts put us onto this, and we went back and looked at the numbers, and India is expected to buy from Russia, and especially at these stocks levels, they could take most of Russia's exportable stocks. And you say, well, is that really possible? And when you go back to the USDA's report last month, it sure is. The USDA is only giving Russia an ending stocks number of about 2.1 million tons, and that's on an 11 million ton export inspection. So if India comes in for, you know, 700,000 tons of wheat, that cuts their ending stocks down almost in half, and so by at least 35%. If that 11 million tons of exports doesn't have these Indian purchases, these theoretical Indian purchases built in. So you bet the market and the cash is very nervous because Russia is just one more in a line of normal standby exporters that you can go to compete with the United States price that you won't have if India comes in.
All right, let's look at this market from both sides, then from the hedging side as well as the speculative side. I don't think I would have ever thought I could have said this, but is a $9 call at 20 cents a good idea?
I don't think so. No, I really don't. From either hedging or spec side, I can see why a hedger would put it on, but I would really work them into more of a frame of getting into March puts. If they're going to put 20 cents on the table, do it with a March 660 or 680 put and work it from that perspective. And don't sell on a wide basis here on new crop and a much lower July futures price at this time. I think the calls for wheat are good for people that were in it a week to 2 weeks ago, Dave. But I think that's the key point here is that the acceleration and the momentum are starting to work against the wheat people that are long, and they know that, but they're going to try and bank it for all they can. But you're getting near vertical here. 650 was just 2 weeks ago. And people are going to start seeing that. And I suspect this long holiday is going to cause a lot of reflection. And that's really what I'm waiting on on Tuesday.
So are traders then becoming poised with ideas of selling the wheat and buying corn?
I think they're getting poised with liquidating their longs. My understanding right now is they are not touching selling wheat or getting long corn because of what's been going on in the corn-wheat spread, where a lot of folks $2 ago suspectedly bought corn and sold wheat. And that's been part of the equation this week as far as how and why the wheat has run so hard and corn hadn't been able to keep up with it, is they're chasing those corn-wheat spreaders out.
Turn your attention to the corn market and tell us what it implies when moving averages crossed, like they did just either yesterday or today. You look at the D's, the 20 and the 50 crossed.
It's interesting you asked me that because I just got off the air with a fellow in Texas on radio, and he was talking about the moving averages as well. I think what it tells you is don't rely upon them as much in the corn, especially because it has not been as much a trending market. We learned a long time ago that moving averages are probably the easiest way to lose money if you rely upon them, if you don't have the trend in place first. And so I'm not a big moving average guy right now in corn. I think we're going to stick with the spreads and the basis and the early yield numbers as our leading indicators and just wait for the USDA report. And I think this week really spells out clearly what the price action's been about, and that is the trade believes the hybrids and genetics and corn can withstand poor weather and drought and flood and whatever. They still know, though, that the soybeans and the wheat don't have that going for them. And so in our view anyway, the trade is really ignored the pro farmer bean number and shot the market back up towards its July highs and almost towards its old highs of that 925, 950 area. You know, we're not far from that, whereas corn, it's down towards its major lows here at this point that were put in by the financial shock and some other, you know, issues earlier on. So a huge divergence in the bean and corn markets with the wheat going straight up. What causes that? I think the only way you can explain that is they buy into the pro farmer corn yield number and a big production forecast coming by USDA.
Turn your attention then to that soybean market, which you indicated has that V-bottom. And since forming that V-bottom around 0810-ish, thereabouts in mid-August, it has been going up, 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 and pretty much on every single day, up maybe a nickel to a dime a day. I'm beginning to wonder, Mike, if this is the beginning of a bull run that will last through the harvest.
I don't suspect that, Dave, unless USDA confirms what's going on in the fields with what the trade believes is going in the field, namely a reduced yield because of too wet a conditions in the north causing sudden death and pods not filling out and BBs being formed because of too dry conditions in the central and southern areas. I think you could classify fundamentally beans and the stock market pretty easily right now, I think, not too hard right now, because the stock market needs to see a Fed rate cut. The beans need to see a USDA production cut in order to support the prices that we're at right now, and maybe even get to between now and the 12th. Maybe we'll go up and form an actual double top in that November bean futures chart between now and the 12th, and then the USDA comes out, and you've had your second chance to sell here if you don't get a production decline by USDA. That's kind of how we're looking at it right now.
Anything to add?
I think the Fed numbers, or excuse me, the Fed responses today to the financial markets is exactly what the market has been looking for. Now it's up to them to actually cut the federal fund rate and keep the commodity trend, the energy trend, the S&P trend going higher, and we need to see that in the middle of the month. I think we got to really holster ourselves down here. It's going to be a crazy September between being the end of a quarter, getting new Fed information, and getting the USDA supply and demand numbers.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave, and nice job at the show to you and Todd.
Thank you. Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. You're listening to WILO Urbana. It's 10:01 Central Time.